You're listening to the only podcast in the universe where clothing is optional,
but pot is not.
Broadcasting from FEMA Region 7, it's Bowl After Bowl with your hosts, Lorian and Spencer.
Welcome. It is September 24th, a very special day. 2024. And you are listening to episode 342 of Bowl After Bowl. I'm Sir Spencer Wolf of Kansas City.
And I'm Dame DeLorean.
All right. So without further ado, we will now roll into a little segment we love to call...
Streaming has boost the ground. Makes you really want to build a node.
Oh, yeah. You got to love building a node. That's the core, the rock hard solid foundation of the money side of what we've been talking about. Okay. And to help kind of drive this message home further, but also make it more accessible, we've been working on our much anticipated and promised node building video. So all the video is shot and I'm just piecing together version one. Version one is for people who just want to get in and see the steps and that's it. I still, I'm kind of struggling right now editorially with what decisions I want to make to keep in, to keep out. For instance, I do have a section and it maybe burns at least a minute and a half to 2 minutes of checksumming the file download, right? And So this is one of those things where the nerdy dev tech guys already know how to checksum something, most likely. I'm not saying everybody does that, but probably have already at least are aware of how it works, right? If they don't regularly do it. So it kind of was like something I'm playing with. Do I tell people the checksum process? It's technically optional, but if we're on this education kick, like maybe it's worth just a couple of minutes to be like, this is how we do it. And this is what it is, this is what it means. Right. So for those unfamiliar, a checksum, you take a file, its whole contents, and then you basically multiply that file by a hashing algorithm. You send it through a hashing algorithm, SHA-256, and you get a string in the end, a long string of characters, letters, and numbers. And then you take that string and you look on the official published website for their checksum string, and it should match exactly. And if it doesn't match exactly, what that means is the file that you checksummed is not exactly the file that they published that they said, here's the checksum for. So it is a way to cryptographically guarantee that you are getting the exact same software that they put out, right? It is a way to reasonably guarantee that you're running the same software. There's been nothing funny done to it, right? Because if any single little part of the code changed, you would get a completely different string when running this checksum command. So that's the purpose of it. And it's just a little security thing. I think once you do it one time, you go, oh, that's fucking easy. Like a lot of this shit, you go, wow, that was actually pretty easy to do. And now my confidence grows because I know I got the right file. I also like know it's a really good security practice. It's good to make sure you don't get a bad version of software, some kind of malicious software. So especially on something like running a node, I feel like it's just worth it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Harvet says he'd be inclined to keep this part in. I feel like the people who need this video would benefit from that, right? So it's those little tiny decisions. I'm just kind of trying to say, all right, how much fat do I trim? I'm trying to trim just absolutely everything that isn't super valuable or crucial. And while I would say there's probably an argument to be made that checksum part isn't crucial, I think it's valuable enough to be left in and not chopped. I don't consider it fat. Right. And yeah, Harvet makes a great point. It's easy to fast forward. My goal is just something that's digestible, right? I don't want a full long form podcast feel to this thing. I want something you can sit down. You can go, okay, there's step one. Let's pause. I'll do that. There's step two. Let's play it. Okay, let's pause. As bare minimum explanation of things as possible. But I still want to explain it enough where people know what they just did, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this step means this. And I also want to make it beginner-friendly enough that, like, anything that might seem obvious is still at least pointed out and explained in there, right? How to launch a USB drive and get into your BIOS settings, that kind of stuff. So the first version will be as tight as I can get it. Right now it's like almost 10 minutes long, and where we're at is we've installed Start 9 and we're launching it for the first time to kind of do some setup stuff. So we still have yet to get to syncing the blockchain, adding Lightning, adding the podcaster apps. But I think that part can be done in three to four more minutes. So under 15 minutes, I think this video will definitely be under 15.
Cool.
I also know that, well, we filmed a lot of stuff. And I know how you guys are out there. You like get upset if I've got things that I said into a microphone and you can't listen to them. I'm talking to just a select few people here, but I know that you're out there because I'll hear about it. So I will also be putting together kind of a more long form version, including all of the fuck ups in there, right?
Right.
And longer winded explanations and opinion bullshit that aren't really crucial to setting up the node, but might be interesting for some people. So first things first, though, we've got to get people to have like a bite-sized deal that they can feel confident going in and just doing something as a regular person. And that's what we've got. We've got something that is visual. We've got screenshots up the whole time as we go through. The whole thing is very hand-holdy, but mm-hmm. it's not dumbed down. I refuse. I will hold your hand, but I'm not going to dumb it down for you while I do it. I will lead you wherever we're going, right? If you want to come along on the journey. But I think it would be disrespectful to you, Bowler, to dumb it down, because I know that you're not that dumb. You found this place, okay? You can't be that dumb. That's all. So I'm very excited about that kind of stuff. And that also leads into, I want to once again shout out Booberry and the whole crew who put together the Satellite Skirmish, Autumn Rust. Also yourself, by the way, Lorraine and Mary-Kate Ultra, who did a lot behind the scenes. I think you guys are unsung heroes on some things a lot of the time. And it's just everybody. Like, it's one of those list things, right? We talk about it all the time. Once you start listing, you can't list everybody who actually made it happen because it's impossible. You're going to forget somebody. And what Booberry did with the rolling end credits was like one of the best. The only time I've seen somebody just like pull off listing it and nail it. Like, everything's there. If you watch the end credits of the Satellite Skirmish, first of all, it's visually beautiful. Second of all, everybody's there. Every song is there. Every band, what they did. Third, which is probably the rarest thing, it is presented in a way that you don't have to pause or rewind. You can read everybody's shit.
Yeah.
Like, you can actually learn who did what and what happened. It's incredible. It's like so thoughtful. And I think that, you know, the end credits, like, probably most people don't really give a fuck or pay attention to the end credits of most things, but you can tell that Booberry put care and time and love into making sure that everybody got credit for putting some work into this thing, you know, which is really cool. That's the kind of thing that the Satellite Skirmish, putting this video out, these are the kind of things that I really understand we need to do more of. And last week, I kind of went off of the rails. I kind of went out in left field on a rant of the latest moves by Wavelake to kind of further their stance at closed doors and black boxes and not playing along with open systems, right? And while I think it was really crucial that things be said and that tensions be escalated as a result of that, I also kind of became acutely aware that, like, we've also got to be doing shit on our side too, right? Like, it's one thing to say, hey, you're doing it wrong, but then it's absolutely crucial that we also say, this is how it's supposed to be done instead. And with Booberry doing that Satellite Skirmish, like, primo perfection. This is how we want to do it. Like, we have to lead by example. We have to get in there and show people, no, there's a better way, and it works out more. And it turns out people are more excited, actually, and find more value in it and support it more. I mean, the Satellite Skirmish has kicked the lung out of anything that those guys over there at the platform have tried to do.
True, yeah. 2 million sats, more than 2 million sats boosted in.
With a shoestring budget, meaning, you know, just the budget of value for value. And just people who are dedicated and care, right? And are passionate about the art and the sanctity of the whole value exchange itself. So it's just been a really big week for that, okay? And I'm really grateful that we had an example of like, not this, yes, this. Mm-hmm. Now, I also have to kind of clarify a few things because we had some shockwaves go out. And I know that some people have been hearing us badger them for a while. Some people saw this as the first thing and go, wow, holy fuck, this guy's really a lunatic, huh? And first of all, yes. But second of all, it's not, I didn't want to feel like I'm against people who put their art on Wavelake. Artists themselves, right? These people that I've been accused of alienating, the artists. I am not anti-Wavelake musician user people. Or if you boost things on Wavelake, or if you go to wavelake.com, like, you're not my enemy. Okay. This is a very specific shot that I took last week. And it seemed like at least one artist, producer, contributor in this space took it to maybe be an attack. BitPunk FM, which, shouts out to BitPunk FM, an awesome dude that we've been interacting with over on Noster, probably you more than me.
Oh, yeah.
Now that you're a Noster influencer. And it's tough. It's very tough to get tone and message across, of course, on a text-only communication system, right? I can't tell you how many times just in the IRC chat that people have fucking pushed me over the edge of rage. Just because I'm reading it the wrong way, right? And something that in person would have been very funny just fucking makes me all pissed. In the chat, seeing it because of whatever, where my mind space is at, the way that I'm reading and interpreting what they're typing, and more than anything else, probably just taking myself a little bit too seriously when it comes to the criticism in certain moments of time, right? In certain moments of time. So I've always been able to kind of step back and recalibrate and go, whoa, dude, like, these are your friends. It's all good. And I think BitPunk had the same thing. But what I really appreciated is he posted his latest episode, which, by the way, I boosted on Fountain. So there's like a Noster event. BitPunk FM, BitPunk.fm Unwound is the name of his podcast he's been pushing out. It reminds me a lot of that Josh Dennis podcast. You remember the Podcasting for Value? Was that the name of it?
Yeah.
Podcasting the number four in value, I want to say. And it's just kind of an honest, candid documentation of him trying this stuff out, right?
The process, yeah, behind the scenes.
It's valuable. It's valuable to me, and that's why I boosted it. His latest episode is my first Noster drama, which was part of this whole aftermath of this energy sparked really by this direction that Wavelake is going. Continues to go. It's not a new thing. It's just yet another step in that direction.
Yeah, and it was my fault.
And yeah, well, you got him kind of riled up directly.
Full
right?
credit for it. Yes, I tagged him in a response that I was formulating to Gayfake, and so then by not removing his tag, he was included in that response.
Yeah,
caught in the crossfire.
So that's another easy thing on the social text-based media. Communication shit is like, oh, I was tagged, now I get a notification, now I'm reading this message as though it's directed straight to me, right? When it's like, well, we included you in the thread because you might have been on this reply chain thread.
And also, he's a guy who is learning, and I think, you know, had a lot to glean from the conversation.
This is why it's valuable to me, because I need this direct firsthand type of stuff. I know it's out there, and I push back against it, and I want to try and be more clear. I push back against it, but I don't, it's not like I'm trying to say you're an asshole or I disagree with how you're coming about it. When people talk about it being very hard and it's too hard, okay? There's a lot of this energy. It's too hard, it's very hard. And when I push back against that, I'm not trying to imply that you're just too dumb and you're a waste of space and time. Like, that's not it. Well, I'm trying to say, and I'm very bad at conveying this message, by the way. I realize that. I'm trying to say, like, it looks tough from where you're at, but, like, once you're up over this hill and everything is set up, it is actually, looking back at it, it's almost humorous once you have it done. Now,
yeah, the first time.
The bitch of it is that we're still carving a lot of this out of raw jungle, right? So it's not really clear, and there's nowhere, like, super awesome to go to have a complete walkthrough of how to do all this, right? We had to figure this out piece by piece. But that's also why it's so important to understand the underlying protocols. Let me tell you a little bit about BitPunk himself, because he is a very cool dude. He is an analog guy at heart, first and foremost. He said that he would rather listen to stuff on cassette, right? He also made a great point that I love of wanting to not getting an MP3 from a feed, but getting a FLAC file or a WAV file, something that isn't lossy, right? Something that's not compressed, a lossless file, which you can then, you know, put on analog shit without having a bunch of digitized weirdness and it sounds like crap. So from that, I love that. I love the niche of that. He probably understands all the time about how people are like, well, nobody wants to do that, right? Like all this energy of like, well, you know, are a million people going to get a cassette tape? He understands well that that's not the point, right? He likes the niche thing because it's more pure, right? And it's more valuable. And it's objectively better quality. Like, if you understand how audio works, then you're going to want a cassette. Or you're going to want a vinyl record. Or you're going to want something that is analog for pureness. And I totally vibe with that. He's also a security guy. Hardware first, but also a bit of software security. So, like, he comes from a real world, right? And we live in this, well, we don't live in this digital space. It's hard, it's easy to forget sometimes. We don't live in this digital space, but it's how we communicate and it's how we interact and it's how we display our art, right? It's like the digital thing is just a mirage, a connection, but it's a communication format. And so, in the bits and bytes, a lot of shit gets lost in translation, right? This digital form of communication itself is lossy.
Yeah.
And we bring it back a little bit with inflection and tone in these spoken word kind of long form podcasts. I think that's why a lot of people who find them click with them, right? It takes a minute. When I first found podcasting, it was like through the Rogan thing, which is a little bit more of a gentle entry, right? Back in like 2013, 14, something like that. It's more of a gentle entry. You don't have to be super jarred. You can kind of zone out. But then once you start accumulating to this more long form thing where you're in it for the long ride and you can kind of pick in and pick out things, you discover more authenticity, I think, that way. And there's more information that you're able to communicate, even in not technically spoken words, right? Like if you listen to a long form podcast, or if you just read the transcript of the podcast, you're not getting the same amount of information just reading it.
Definitely.
So I think all of these things are interesting little nuances of how we communicate and interact with each other. I love his podcast because it's another documentation and another honest take. And I get to hear the frustration parts of his voice. And I also get to hear him do what I do, which is like make firm statements with feeling and emotion and then explore couching that in certain ways with like, now I'm not saying all the way this way. I'm saying this specific thing. So it was very cool. I encourage everybody to check out this latest episode of bitpunk.fm unwound. Putting the dots in all the wrong places. See, this digital, this digital has me just as flustered. People think that I live in this digital thing. Hey, I write my show notes every week on a little mini legal pad because I can't do it any other way. You think I can scroll a phone and read show notes? You think I could type them on my screen somewhere? I've got too many fucking screens doing digital shit. If I have thoughts, they have to be written down physically. These are thoughts, right? He pointed out a few things that I wasn't aware of in terms of somebody who might just be coming to this as a beginner and getting in at this stage of the game. One of these is this Albi Hub solution, which, by the way, we've talked a lot about Albi. throughout this entire journey for, you know, the ever since they first came out, you know, we predate Albie. Hi. But when Albie first came out, of course, they got a lot of people in, you know, but more people were able to experience the thing. So then this Albie Hub comes along. Albie wants to get out of the custodial wallet kind of game and kind of ease people into, well, you can run your own node on our shit. And so there's sort of almost a Voltage-like experience in that sense, right?
Yeah, like a rent-a-node?
A bit of a rent-a-node, but it's charging you big money.
Right.
You can start it off for free and all that. Paying for liquidity. I don't want to get lost in that ins and outs because I don't exactly know the pricing for Albie Hub or if there's any or what you have to pay for. But a lot of people have sent me messages over these past few years saying, well, you go so hard after Wavelake for their centralized shit. What about Albie? Like, Albie's just a big fat custodian. A couple of things about Albie. Number one, they have been incredible custodians, incredible stewards, I want to say, of that node that they ran. That was a big ass node that they were just Uncle Jimming the world onto, and really still is, frankly. They're having people kind of build nodes themselves. The difference is that people don't know they're building nodes. People just know they are using Albie Hub now, right?
Yeah.
Which I'm not saying there's necessarily anything wrong or deal-breaky with that, right? I think it's a valuable service. And like I said at the very beginning, we want options. We want options in education. We want people to all get better at this thing because the more people get better at it, like, the easier it's going to become because now we have more teachers in the game. We have more examples. We have more people leading by example doing this stuff out there. And the Albie Hub, the problem here that BitPunk raised was it doesn't install currently on his version of Start 9. He can't get it to work on Start 9 at all. I've not tested it. You know me, I'm always like, oh yeah, I'm going to get into that. And Chad F first was like, you know, right when Albie Hub launched, he was like, I'm going to get in there. I'm going to try it out. Because Chad, he's the evangelist guy. He's going to teach people how to get on as easy as possible. So he's out there on the front lines doing that thing. And we need all of these players playing all of these roles. Okay, I want to be super clear about that. We need all these players playing all of these roles, including Albie, including Fountain, who you could probably make similar shots at, right?
Totally.
I was a little stinker when they got big money from Pomp, right? Because that's a big fucking red flag, and you should not trust anything with the name Pompliano on it.
Yeah, VC schemes.
If it's that Pompliano, I'm sure there's very fine Pomplianos out there, just not, you know, rocket ship. Psh, not that one, right? So, it's not like, I just respond to what I see week after week. That's all I can do. And from my perspective, which nobody else has. And I welcome this sort of thing where it's a response. I get to kind of hear back. This is that feedback loop of value for value. It's another piece of the puzzle. Without this honest communication, we're never going to forge our way forward. So my role, and you know, people, I don't fault anybody for not knowing any of this shit. Like, what, if you're just new to this and you're like, whoa, fuck, everybody's fighting. I don't want to do this. Not really fighting. Voicing some frustrations that are very specific that have, by the way, been going on for years, totally haughtily ignored.
Yeah.
Okay.
Still.
My MO, usually, if I have an issue with how people are building or working or doing things, is I'll go to them directly first, always. Okay. And I invite everybody else to treat me the same. Like, if you're bugging me, I will reach out. First, always. And if nothing happens, or if I get ignored or ha-ha'd away, then I will probably start getting at you in the group chat from then on. And if I still get no response, results, difference, change, then I'll probably start raving like a mad lunatic to everybody else about it and give up trying to talk with you. And so that is the journey of Wavelake over the past few years, right? Things can change. Things change all the time.
But you're solution-oriented, because when you're doing this, you're saying, there's a better way.
That's correct. I'm solution-oriented, and my role is to lead by example and also try to kind of protect this pack of people who count on me for watching and knowing, right? And so if you're bit by a wolf, maybe, you know, you're either somewhere you shouldn't be or you're doing something you shouldn't be doing. Okay. I don't come into your shit and bite you. That's all. That's all this is. It's another role and somebody's got to play it. And that's mine. All right. That's mine. And if it means being a little mean sometimes or even perceived as such or whatever the fuck you want to call it, if it means being a downright asshole, that's part of the thing that I have to wear and do. And there's just no way around that part. Bitpunk said a few times in this episode, like, today is a really sad day for me. You know, and he was very discouraged by this interaction. And that part bummed me out a little bit because it's just like, that wasn't what I wanted, is to make people have sad days out there who are on our side and who are coming into this. And, you know, it's already a lot to handle. Like, I get that. It's a lot to handle. And then I add a little bit more, but it's for a reason. So it's beautiful because I boosted in, and his reply was that if he had waited a day, he would have felt a lot better about it. He probably wouldn't have had the sad day vibe. He would have said things differently and things would have been a lot more mellow. But that's the beauty of getting it raw, right? Like, yeah. that's why I don't discuss things until here, and I just let it, like, I don't know where this is going to go. I've got some notes of things I want to talk about. But when you're hearing me lay it all down, this is my thoughts, my real stream of consciousness, is how I feel and think about it right now as I sit here. That could change in the future. It's changed since the past. It's constantly evolving, like we all should be, right? So I appreciate that he put it out raw because it captures a lot more information of what's important to a person. And so let me just cut to the very chase of it. We need, and I've been saying this for a while and trying to work on it, we need more accessibility to this whole system. And I think that comes in the form of doing live productions, doing live shows, keep doing our shows like we've been doing, and also this outreach in terms of the how-to videos. Like, now that I have set up and I'm working on this one, I kind of, just as a side effect of doing the first one, can see a lot more places where we can do this and this and this. And if people watch a video and say, hey, could you make one about this now? Our plan first was just to do the three major node implementations, right? So this one is about start nine, how to just put a start nine on an old computer. Next, I want to just get a Raspberry Pi 5 and do what I did first, because Raspberry Pi actually was even easier than putting it on an old computer. The difference between what I'm doing now, putting it on an old computer, and the Raspberry Pi version, is you don't even have to fuck with what version is it, flash into a BIOS. Like, there are some extra technical hurdles just throwing this on an old computer, and we always just throw it away like, oh, it's so easy. If you got an old laptop, you can just throw it on. And I get that that comes off a certain way if you're out there in the shadow. So I really don't want to discourage people with that thing. What I'm trying to convey is that there's room in here, and you could actually learn quite a bit, and you can realize how dumb I actually am. Like, it's not like the stuff that we've put together here doesn't really qualify us for any kind of science award in computer data analytics, whatever. People are like, oh, I have to have a computer engineering degree. Nope. We're just installing some software and then using it. So all that to say, I'm really excited. This was a very cool week because it went all over the place, right? We had our ups and downs. We were mad. We were sad. We were happy. We were elated. We were laughing our asses off. It was funny. And that's the beauty of it too, is like, I'm always trying to say, all right, what can we do about it? You know, it's the bitching and moaning has to occur because people have to realize there's a problem. But now it's, let's hit the ground. Let's roll some shit out. We're actually doing things better. Let's bring them to you. So I really highly appreciate everybody who was involved and touched by that whole thing. We got to keep talking this way. We've got to keep shaking people up.
Yeah.
And we've got to, this is just like, everybody has their own way of doing it, and I've got my way. Okay. So give it a year. You'll understand. I don't hate you or anyone else.
And also, I want to point out, tonight in the on-chain, off-chain, cocaine, shit stain show notes, I'm including the decentralized music RSS feed template that you put together over on GitHub.
Sweet.
Because usually when I encounter an artist on Noster and I interact with them in some way, and I find out that they are trapped in a walled garden on a platform where their funds could be rug pulled, I will say, did you know there's a better way? You can literally copy and paste this. If you got a website, you're good. And I understand also that not everyone's familiar with XML. Probably
correct.
A majority of people have not played with an RSS feed, you know? But it really makes my day when maybe a couple months pass and an artist like Breadfan reaches out and says, hey, thanks for sending me that template. I put it to use and I'm migrating and receiving stats directly to where I want them to go. Not some custodian. So that's really cool. Shout out to Breadfan.
Absolutely.
He did it. Even if there's just one, if I get one artist to learn how to self-host with my little, I don't know, I'm kind of crass and I'm very blunt, especially in the way I type. I have no idea how I come off to people on social interactions online.
Yeah.
I just assume I sound like a total bitch.
You're right.
And at this point, because of some interactions I've had. But I'm just going to keep doing it because it works.
It gets people to at you at least, or mute, which is fine too. Like, if you just want to cover your ears and keep going where you're going, like, that's another option, right? Like, we should not be able to shake you if you don't want us to. But if you feel some kind of tug and you're pulled into the gravity of whatever this perceived conflict is, right? That's the universe speaking through one another, and we're supposed to interact here. We're supposed to get to the bottom of what seems to be the problem, which is what I'm interested in all cases here.
Yeah.
In all cases.
And it's funny because in this case, I think you're actually nicer than me. I am a purist in the DMU space.
Yes.
Mary-Kate Ultra and I created Homegrown Hits originally with Daisy B. Cooper, and I said, I will do this music show, but only if we play exclusively self-hosted music.
And, you know, that's another role. Like, purists need to exist too, because you need to know what that looks like at the very least, if nothing else. But what I love about that format and that decision is that you have a sharp contrast that you can show. And it's another lead by example thing. It's like, well, you know, these artists have been shut out of platforms. Like,
yeah.
Quite literally, that's what's been going on this whole time, is some art is shut out of a platform, right?
Yeah.
And now
single platform.
Now the big exciting announcement offer is now you can develop in a shut off version of the overall library, right? Like, you can limit your library, limit your value, limit the what you're allowed to do in your app, and then you can join a closed beta development. You know, that's what I was trying to point out.
Yeah.
It just happened to also piss me off a lot because a lot of people who should know better still carry water for these guys. And there's a lot of reasons for it. I understand the clout thing is big, right? They seem to be the guys that are on the forefront of having something nice that newbies are okay with, right? Like, it's easier. But yeah,
illusion.
Like, so does Facebook. So does McDonald's. Like, they've got the most enticing, sexy thing that is just everywhere. You see it everywhere and everyone loves it, right? But we know what's underneath. And so, like, if what's underneath matches and it's, like, worthy of universal adoration, then that's one thing. But we got to point out where Shin is a little bit... So I loved it. It was a lot of fun. I had a very fun week.
Because we're all about the fun.
I love BitPunk. He's a big piece of this puzzle moving forward. And I want more artists in there. That's how I know he's a valuable guy, is, like... He was able to articulate his position and his perspective, which was valuable to me because I can't see it or hear it otherwise.
Yeah.
And he still took it in stride, and he was like the biggest point and the biggest takeaway and like the gold medal moment was when he's like, I'm not going to let any of this stop me from keeping on trying stuff, right? If he had his way, he would just make cassettes and just put it out. Like, he would only be on cassette. and fuck the feed stuff, right?
Yeah.
Fuck the Bitcoin, fuck all of that. But he understands that you can't just wall yourself off and completely sit in a corner with the other two guys who are that into cassettes as you, right? There's a bigger world out here. So it's just this middle ground, and we're always searching for it, looking for it. Sir TJ the Wrathful is in the chat earlier, and he said, I don't really understand GitHub. I have to play with it more. And I just want to say, when I took a four-month career track web developer course, GitHub was the scariest, most difficult part of all of it. And I learned C# and JavaScript and React and all kinds of shit, CSS, SQL databases. They jammed a lot and a little bit of time into my brain. And I kind of got some sort of semblance of something, right? It didn't come out like some master wizard. But the GitHub part, the whole time, I was terrified of it. Never clicked. I never could figure it out. Every time I tried to use it, it broke. And every time I visited the site, because people who are developers would send you links to like, well, here's the code, sir. Like, that's the source, the heart of it. Like, that's like, you don't get any closer to the source than literally the Git source code. And I didn't even know what I was fucking looking at for the longest time. So I feel your pain. Like, I understand. I think that it gets a little lost in perception, too, that I'm some kind of, like, master years-long developer. I'm just a guy, like, trying to do this piece by piece. That's all. So I'm with you. I'm with you, the people. I'm with you, the people. We just gotta fucking keep our eye on the machine, because we don't want to get chomped up by some fucking machine. That's the whole point of all of this, is to get away from the even having the possibility of that.
Yeah.
We're making that impossible. Right. And so when we avoid certain shit like this, we further our own power and we further decentralize and we further kind of make sure nobody can fuck with us.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you keep it in the rear view mirror as you get in the car to drive.
Correct. I like that. I like that.
Got to keep an eye on it. But
and by the way, that is another thing that's been long in the works. In fact, if you look at that GitHub example feed that I published, Lorian mentioned, which will be in the show notes. I promise a video is coming. I've wanted to do it ever since I released that. So that will be, along with some other node stuff, that'll be one of the first things on the plate next, is just sitting down with some images and some MP3s and saying, all right, here's how you take this code on GitHub and make it into an album that everyone can listen to on Fountain and Podverse and all Ellen Beats and all this stuff. Podcast Guru. Here I go listing again.
Mm-hmm. Just go to nudepodcastapps.com.
Let's take a quick look around the Bitcoinverse, because there are some things that happened. Speaking of Noster drama, we weren't the only ones. Alex Gleason, you may know him from Monster fame or helping start Trump's Truth Social. He's a developer. He's been working on a lot of these decentralized social media implementations. He's got a lot of hours spent in Mastodon, specifically Pleroma. He's the one who wrote Soapbox, which is yet another front end for those Fediverse implementations. And he's currently working on a new Noster interface that is actually Mastodon based, so that he's working on bridging these gaps.
Nice.
He has gone to super duper war with Reply Guy. So anybody who's been on Noster is acutely aware of this Reply Guy spam, where there's several different Noster accounts on a bunch of different relays who will just auto-reply any post you make on Noster with exactly what you said and Reply Guy and what relay they're on. Which, devs do this from time to time. They get all cute and hacky. We saw this when Homeboy broke LND. You remember this?
I do.
It was like 2 summers ago. Somebody realized you could send a payment with an asinine amount of signatures, co-signatures, and break LND. And so they just did for the shits and grins. And it forced LND's hand to patch that hole. I can't get too mad. It pisses me off. I'll say it first. It pisses me off. I hate that kind of shit. It reminds me of the guy who was trying to get tamper-proof seals on all of the Tylenol for years, and then he ended up fucking putting poison in a bunch of Tylenol bottles to
make it happen.
Like, okay, at what point does it become... Like, there are certain problems. There are certain problems that are exploitable that people just ought not exploit. And it sucks because we move to this tamper seal society. We nerf things. We make things kind of perceivably safer, but then there's also, like, it just also ups the attack vector of, like, okay, well, we can still poison the Tylenol, but now we have to do it in a way that doesn't fuck with the tamper seal. You know, like, we're escalating this weird war.
Yeah.
And eventually, if we're going to evolve as a human race, we need to get past the point. We need to get to a point where any one of the humans has access to a button that could wipe us all out, and then just everyone doesn't push it forever. Right? That's eventually enlightenment. And shit, dude, like, could it ever happen? Not in our lifetimes, obviously. Look around. But I worry about this kind of evolutionary pressure. Are we going further from the possibility of even being there with this sort of thinking, right? With this sort of, like, well, I'll just be the attacker then, and I'll show you what's possible. I fucking hate this shit. It irritates me. However, on the other hand, can I really be that mad? Because I've been the asshole in other ways. Now, I don't fucking do online attacks, and I don't fucking put poison in Tylenol bottles, but I'm willing to give some nuance here, right?
It's that squeaky wheel gets the grease thing.
Correct. Sometimes if L&D sits on its ass for 2 years ignoring you, and you have the means to force their hand, sometimes, maybe, I don't know, you can force their hand. I don't pretend to know enough about that security exploit in L&D and all of its implications, right? All I know is that it did get results. So I'm a guy who can see both sides, I understand. But I also get pissed. It pisses me off. I think that people should just not spam.
Yeah.
I think that the actual best solve for the spam problem is knock that shit off. Everybody.
Yeah.
But obviously, you can't control people with that kind of thing. And I'm also not that crazy about getting controlled. So anyway, Alex Gleason has been at war with Reply Guy. He's trying to kind of figure out Noster-based solutions to just eliminate these spam problems, which have been a problem for a while. Now, you can curate your own timeline and you can mute people, but if a guy has a botnet and is just spinning up new accounts as you mute them, then it becomes him versus you, and you can't click the button faster than his script can spin up new accounts. So I'm going to keep an eye on Gleason's war. He did seem to be doing pretty well, but only on his own relay implementation by just keeping ahead of the guy. And every time he would pop up, he would just, you know, add a line to his config file. Basically, the war looked like this with Gleason and Reply Guy over the weekend. Reply Guy would spin up a completely new relay, buy a new domain, verify the domain so that one of the NIPs works, right? So that it passes a certain check because you can verify that you're the owner of the domain, right? So he spends $5 to do that, and then he does the cryptographic stuff that was also put up, and he puts all that money and effort and work in. And then Gleason sees it, sees he's got a new one, adds the new one to his blacklist. Boom. Near move, right? And, like, Gleason's just sipping coffee going, I can do this all fucking weekend, dude.
Yeah.
Let's go. So I gave him a little memeage to try and help him on his journey.
Oh, very nice.
We're all here just kind of watching Reply Guy. Sorry, chat, for not keeping up with the scroll there.
And did you also see the duck outing himself for a different...
I did.
...spamming that happened to the devs?
I saw the duck. So as part of this war over the weekend, the duck says, hey, I was the guy who did the...
It was like an emoji
reply spam. So he was spamming emoji events he said some Tweedledee shit in his outing of himself. It's a little bit weird and it's like not the move for let me just point out bro's mistakes. Can I just point out bro's mistakes? Besides being a spammer, which is just gay, I don't give a fuck what your reason is. You out yourself as this, like, ooh, well, I was the gray hat guy who did this, right? So, like, okay, well, are you going to have that card to pull in the future? Now, like, everybody is going to suspect you first for other shit, right? And he was like, I'm not Reply Guy, but second of all, if you're going to be this kind of gray hat guy, and you're going to be like Robin Hood, and I'm going to believe in your cause and be like, oh yeah, well, the guy's not in it for the credit. He's in it to make the protocol better. Then probably try not to take the credit, right?
Yeah.
It just makes it a little bit weird. Like, oh, you're that guy. Okay, well, everybody hated the shit out of you. Now, he made some interesting points, and I just love it too, by the way, because I like to dissect everybody's philosophy and play with, because like, we're all just trying to do what we feel is right, right? We're all moved by the universe, the higher power, by God himself putting us in these directions and giving us these strong urges to do things that we think we have to do. Guy's no different, just another man. He said he only targeted developers because developers were the ones that could do something about it. And so like regular users, he didn't bother with, which was interesting because bowlers, I never experienced any emoji spam. So,
right.
Hello. What does that tell you about me? I'm not a guy that can develop because I was not targeted by the emoji spam.
I only got pulled into it because of our bud Hazard.
Yes. Hazard.
Responding.
And Hazard said kind of something similar to what I did. He's like, fuck you, but I get it, basically. Yeah. Do you have his?
I had actually pulled up Alex's response since you were talking about Gleason, which appreciated because he follows that short and sweet bit that I like to pull. He said,
impossible
you know
for me.
What would have been made this whole exchange better? If you were talking to me the entire time, you fucking retarded coward.
Yeah.
And people have lost their minds over Gleason saying that. And
he's right.
Let me tell you, he's saying the same thing that Hazard said.
Yeah.
Just less fluffy and eloquent and kind, right? Like he's just being blunt. And people have started talking about, well, for the betterment of all of this protocol, maybe we should get Gleason out of here. Like, literally where it went.
Yeah, of course.
I couldn't believe it.
Now, this is another thing.
Freedom of speech blown the fuck out.
This is another thing you experience largely on anywhere on the internet. I don't give a fuck where it is, but Noster, it's in our face because A, we're using it, and B, it's like this kind of weird containment zone for people in this limbo. There's a lot of people in this limbo of like, they're sick of the legacy platforms. They've been limited in some way. Maybe it's content of their speech. Maybe it's the content of other people's speech that they don't want to see. Maybe it's whatever, right? Whatever they've perceived. Maybe they got demonetized for something totally dumb that a robot made a mistake on. Whatever it happened to be, they're trying Noster out, right? And a lot of people are like, I see all these posts every once in a while about women being bullied off of Noster. Other women are being bullied off of Noster.
I ought to start harassing some women as a woman.
Dude, if you can be bullied off of a web page, then you do not belong on that web page. Like, this is the fucking internet, and I'm tired of pretending like it's not. All right? This is part of my whole thing with getting all fucking crazy last week. Like, if you can't handle the heat, then just go to the fucking park, dude. What are you doing on the internet? I'm sick of this shit.
Yeah.
I'm sick of this whole, we've got to have a fucking nerfed interaction via text. It's already nerfed. It's text.
Yeah.
I can't hurt you over text words, right? Or else it's a your problem.
Yeah.
It's a you problem at that point. All right. There are fucking absolute bottom feeder, asshole, bad people out there too on the internet saying things. And hopefully you can see that and mute it, get it away.
Yeah.
A lot of these people get baited into a bunch of engagement over the shit, which is like, dude, you have to fucking focus your mind. You have to, like, if somebody is clearly a fucking prick and offers no value, then like they're gone, right? That's a mute, that's an ignore. Or even don't even do that. Just literally have the strength of mind to just ignore it completely. Just be like, well, that's all about, but on with the rest of my day, right? A little sticks and stones thing, like it's totally been lost and reprogrammed out. It's like, no, well, that's harassment. It's everybody. Come on, people. And Gleason has been dogpiled lots of times. The real issue is that in a lot of these development communities and in a lot of these Discord communities, there's a lot of people who have been super soft, fluffy treated the entire time. So they don't know how to deal with the adversity. Like, as soon as they see a bit of the adversity, they go, ah, teacher, teacher, teacher. And somebody comes along and fucking punishes somebody over it. And they just sit there in their dev socks and keep typing away in their little weird imaginary made up character pony world, right?
That's, oh, yeah, that's the fucking socks.
I listen, trust me, I know. Okay, that's the world that we're in. I fucking know these people in real life, right? So that's the world we're in. The deal is, like, if you're going to do the world where you're a magical, mystical pony guy, you have to also live in the world where there's the actual Nazi out there too. Because guess what? You're already in that world.
Yeah.
So you can't, like, HR it away, or you can't, like, all of us are here on the ball, man. It's too late. We were all born. And yeah. I'm not, like, they're going to call me a Nazi for this statement. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I shouldn't have to explain that part. What I'm saying is, you can't just have this one little echo chamber, because then you got to pick a side, or you've got to pick an ideology, or you've got to pick, like, no.
Mm-mm.
No, it's what are you building, and what are people using, and what are you saying, and are people digging it or not? And that's the whole point of decentralization. It's not like, oh, well, I should be protected from people who say things I don't want to see and tell me things I don't want to hear. That's your job, dog.
Yeah, you got to protect yourself.
You can make your own wild, like, it's never in human history been this, afforded you this ability as a person, as a human creature, to build this complete fantasy world around you in any direction, including the Nazi guy.
Yeah.
In the example, right? Yeah. Like, you can make any kind of wild fictional bullshit up and have that be your world, but then you don't get to say, well, my world that I've constructed for myself, it's not allowed to collide with any other worlds, right? I've got this fucking bubble around it. Yeah, man, mm-mm. It's going to bump up and shit.
Yep.
It's going to bump up. That's why I like Nosters, because there's no fucking terms of service type shit where they can just kick you out of everywhere.
Yeah. Hey, I have Hazard's response pulled up.
Oh, thank you.
Which he had said to the duck, I appreciate that you've come out, and I also appreciate that you were considerate enough to only target devs. However, no dev, myself included, likes having their app exploited, especially when they know it's broken. So you saying that the spam was worth it to start a discussion feels like gaslighting, because many of us already knew that spam was going to be an issue. All that said, I will swallow my pride and admit that it did quicken the discussion of how Noster clients can deal with spam, and did force me to reconsider some things in my client. Which, of course, Hazard's client is no strudel.
Yes, but notice the words there. Force.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, that's aggression. You're a prick. Right? I'm saying words and just giving an opinion and making statements and pointing out things that are true and then giving my opinion about what they mean, what these true things implicate, then this is a discussion. This is how rational adults try to solve problems, right? Like, and yeah, okay, it can be yelling. It can be, but like, you know where to find me.
Yeah.
I'm not sneaking around and saying other shit.
Well, and he targeted devs. So he could have also chatted with each one of those people.
Started a discussion.
Yeah.
Literally on a Git page. Whether it's Hub or GitFox or whatever the fuck you use. Like, I don't care. I'm not married to anyone's platform. It's just like, people are on GitHub. It's the number one thing. Right? That's just where people happen to be. I, by the way, don't really care for that so much either. That's a Microsoft Borg ass bullshit that's taking all your code and training AIs on it. It's a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? None of that's lost on me either. I point that out to say that I'm not the purest guy, but I just see the one little sector where I can. It's like being a goalie on a field that has like 40 goals, but I can only just guard this one goal because that's like, I can't guard all 70 goals. I don't know where even all the goals are. So like, I'm hoping other devs are out there. Like the security guy, back to BitPunk. BitPunk was like, yeah, okay, Albie, that's cute that like everybody uses that and they made it easier, but you tell a security guy to use a browser extension and we'll see what happens. I get it.
Fair.
I get it, man. For what it's worth, I've always just used Albie as a little bit of like, put some money in there just so things will work, and I never put a big fucking nut in there. I never relied on it ever because I came into this before they existed. And then once they came along, I was like, oh, yeah, well, we can have that as a little sidecar option with a little bit of fucking ice cream money in it, right?
That's right.
A little bit of ice cream money in there.
Yeah, if they rug pull you.
But oh, it's well. Not where I'm going to build my motherfucking house that I'm going to live the rest of my life and leave to my kids. No, duh. Of course not. And so that's the part that people have to hear in a bunch of different ways said by a bunch of different people before it kind of like clicks. Like, how do you need to hear it? Well, I don't know that. Nobody else knows that. You don't know that until you actually have the epiphany moment. So that's why we keep on chain, off chain, cocaine, shit, and staining you. It's the whole point, baby. Right. It's the core of this segment. So shouts out to all the Noster devs out there making it happen. And real recognize real. Fuck you to the spammers and to the cowards, too.
Yeah. They're like rapists.
It's a bit...
Code rapists.
It's a bit weird, man. It's like the L&D guys, the L&D attack... Where it was like, yo, you know, you could have like demonstrated that on testnet.
Right.
And broke it there where there's nothing at stake. And I remember the fallout, right? The guy was like, well, I did this and I did this and no one. He sounded a lot like I sounded at the beginning of the segment, right? Where he's like, well, I tried with the guys and they weren't listening to me. So I took matters into my own hands. difference is like my escalation, my full at war escalation is just yelling words into this microphone. Like,
yeah,
that's
your own feed.
That's where you take me all the way, bro.
Exactly.
And like, I think we can do it this way, you know?
Absolutely.
I think we can just get it done by talking it out, even if that's an uncomfortable talk to have, man. Like, it's just, you know, it really made me feel some stuff, man. I don't know. Gotta grab some Vyvanse.
please don't. Just stick to the weed.
Alex Gleason, by the way, if you want to check out his work, Alex Gleason, GLEASON.me is his site. Join my fight against big tech is what his hero page says. And then you can see he's also got some fight against high resolution monitors, judging by the image he chose here himself. Keep up the good work, Gleason. We love you, man.
Yeah.
We are here doing dabs, watching your bitch fights. And we love what we see. We love what we see.
Yep, it's true.
Some headlines. God, this is so fun. I love my fucking job. Telegram changes policy. Hey, you know how we hate Telegram and use it?
No, I don't.
By we, I mean me. See, this is the beautiful, you know, if you want a purist, look at DeLorean.
Exactly.
If you want a guy who is very mad and also has a butt plug called Telegram in his butt and it's uncomfortable with every step and it's still in there for fucking... you know, reasons like I feel like it's still needed to talk to people. I hate it and I have it. Telegram changes policy to share phone numbers and IP addresses in valid requests.
Ooh.
It's like, I love to talk about this stuff because I am ready for doing stuff. The Casey Bitcoiner's main communication is in this Telegram. Now, the whole founder getting arrested and Trump charged at by France is kind of an argument on the other side of like, well, you know, it probably works because he's saying no and they're not getting what they want out of him. So like you can make some pro Telegram arguments that way. But like, in general, I think that's a stretch. Telegram updated its privacy policy to state that it will provide user data, including IP addresses and phone numbers, to law enforcement agencies in response to a valid legal order. Womp, 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 womp,
pussies.
Womp,
womp.
And guess what? Part of it surely is that, like, you can say that this Vlad Vidugadok, I can't fucking remember his name, I don't know. He didn't come on my radar until this whole big stink happened, right? You can say he's a based boy and he's not responded to government anything, but he's not in charge of Telegram no more. These little pussies are.
Yep.
So, like, can we figure out where we're going to go? We've had this conversation with the Casey Bitcoiners where, like, I don't know, it happens every other month or every 3 months where people are like, yeah, so, but where are we going to go instead of Telegram?
Anywhere.
And there's just such fucking inertia. It's just like, well, that's where everyone is, so that's why. It's the same thing with GitHub. That's where everyone is, so that's what everybody does, and, like, I'm just as guilty. I'm just a guilty motherfucker, too, because I'm on both for the same reasons. But you can see how... people get trapped into some kind of fucking unavoidable slave situation with this sort of mentality. So hey, I'm trying to work on it too. I don't know what the solution is. I'm a solutions-based guy. So when I go to the solution part and go, I don't know, then I just don't do anything, right? Like, I don't act. Like, I've already done things that might have been mistakes, like making a Telegram account. Moving forward, like, until I have something that makes sense to actually act, then I'm waiting for, like, I'm keeping my eyes open. I'm looking around. What is that action that is the right action? I just haven't seen it yet. Looking for it. If anybody knows it, if anybody's seen it, hit me up. I like testing shit. I don't care if there's only four people in there. Probably cooler. And then I can help get more cooler people in there. So let's look for fucking, what are we going to do to get the fuck out of this Telegram shit? It's like fucking time. It's past time.
Yeah, then I can join the Casey Bitcoiners chat.
Exactly. Yeah, you want Lauren in the Casey Bitcoiners chat, but it's not going to happen while it's on Telegram. What else do we got? Tor Project responds to reports of German police de-anonymizing users. So there was some reports that the German police were kind of breaking the point of Tor and figured out something. Some clarification from the Tor Project. Quote, from the limited information the Tor Project has, we believe that one user of the long-retired application Ricochet was fully de-anonymized through a guard discovery attack. I have no idea what this means. I'm just telling you what their statement is. This was possible at the time because the user was using a version of the software that neither had Vanguard's Lite nor the Vanguard's add-on, which were both introduced to protect users from this exact kind of attack. The protection exists in Ricochet Refresh, which is a maintained fork of the long-retired project Ricochet, which was released in June 2022. So they're on their old software. That's another reason to kind of keep your shit up to date because vulnerability patches are plugged all the time. It doesn't make you bulletproof, but it makes it a little bit harder to fuck with you. Regularly just updating your packages. That's all. Yeah, sudo apt get update, sudo apt give upgrade, plus plus in the chat. What else do we've got going on? What else do we got going on? I think there was one more thing. A major version of Sparrow Wallet is out, version 2. I still haven't used Sparrow Wallet, but a lot of privacy boys say Sparrow Wallet is based. Sparrow was, of course, a big implementation on top. They used a lot of the Samurai coin join action. So Sparrow Wallet version 2 is bringing in some different stuff, some of it exciting, some of it not so exciting. So, like, a lot of Trezor and Ledger support being entered in, woo-wee. But some other stuff is just some basic updates to the underlying Java and JavaFX versions, which also, by the way, has some implications for which Mac system you have to be at least at Mac 10.15 now. You have to be on Mac 11. All of the old Mac 10 versions are now not compatible with the Sparrow Wallet, which is, in development terms, quite reasonable. It was more than 2 years ago that the last Mac 10 got put on end of life. So it'd be like me, a guy still clinging white knuckle grip to Windows 10, which is a shit product anyway, not upgrading to Windows 11. And I'm going to be forced to do so. I think next summer is the last holdout kind of time. And you can probably still run it forever and ever. Doesn't BIMRO still run Windows 7? So it's like there's what they say you can do, and then there's what you can do, and those are always two different things. So Sparrow Wallet 2, I am interested to hear people's feedback because I still have never actually used it, but they're supposed to be making coin joins a little bit easier. Speaking of coin joins being easier, though, a lot of the privacy guys have been chuffing about this news. There is a Tachi.lol is news for the streets, and the latest story from them: the Bitcoin community fires back in Bitcoin privacy war. Ashigaru is the response from Cypherpunks in Bitcoin. So a Bitcoin privacy-focused wallet, which was developed, announced over this past week, developed as a fork of the Samurai wallet following the legal troubles facing Samurai's creators. So launched this month, Ashigaru aims to continue the mission of enabling private and censorship-resistant transactions on the Bitcoin network. It picks up where Samurai has left off with the whole idea of not having a centralized coordinator. And for whatever reason, the name exactly is escaping me of that protocol. You remember that protocol they were working on pretty much right as they got rounded up? It was like rolled out and implemented. Oh, man. I'm trying to crawl through this article to see if I can see any mention of it. One of the key features, though, that this new Ashigaru brings in from Samurai Wallet's PayNim support, which allows people to use reusable payment codes via BIP47 protocols. They are represented by a Pepe Hash avatar system. So basically, nice. your PayNim, you can have this like pseudonymous NIM reusable wallet address that's private, but then it's hashed into a Pepe. And so you can recognize the receiver. If the Pepe ever changes, you know, oh, that's not the wallet that I'm used to for this person, which is pretty fun and cool. The screenshots of it are quite nice, which I'll just put in the chat. That's kind of fun. It looks like a fun interface. And again, like, humor is one of our best tools. If we can use humor to fight the corrupt, retarded assholes, like, that's, they don't understand it. They don't know how to respond to it. They're powerless against humor. And that's why it's funny to fuck with people who deserve to be fucked with, as long as you do it in a funny way. What else is going on? I just wanted to see... God damn it, I wish I knew the name of that app. That's all right. Or that protocol. Oh, God, yes, Soraban. That's what it was. Jesus, it was killing me. Soraban. It's a protocol that's agnostic to any app. That's what a protocol is, right? Like, it doesn't matter what app you use. You can use the Soraban protocol. And it basically enables coin joins without centralized coordinators. The way it very first started off was QR-based because it was designed to do with people in person. And so it's like, oh, here's my QR code. Will you scan mine? And I'll scan yours. And then we can do this pay, this coin join payment. And we can kind of obfuscate the history of where this thing has been on chain, right? For chain analysis companies, it makes everything more vague. It is like the pizza delivery prank in Brooklyn 911, where all the guys walk in with pizzas in a box, and then they like all walk in the circles in the room, and it's so much chaos. Nobody actually knows what the fuck Brooklyn went on, but
99.
But the keys went missing. Yeah, Brooklyn 99. What did I say?
911.
Brooklyn 911. Oh yeah. Thinking of Reno.
Yeah.
One the other cop comedy. Anyway, fascinating stuff. All of this, by the way, beyond my pay grade. I'm grateful to have other guys who are interested in this kind of shit and can steer me in the right direction. But it's good to see cypherpunks picking up the flag because we're the fucking Hydra out there. And I don't even, like, you know, I'm not even smart enough to have direct code involvement to know that you chop one head off and three more heads go, oh, hey, fuck you, that's bullshit, and they grow right back, and now you got a bigger problem, and now you're under my control. So that's the whole magic, you guys, of decentralization. All the shit that we've talked about on the cocaine shit stain. Thank you.
We now conclude our scheduled broadcasts for today. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to be with us again tomorrow. Good night.